Let me pull everyone back off. We're going to do is we're going to I'm going to put everybody into the
Q&A session started.
Okay, if anybody has a question or they know they want to bring something up, you can hit star 6 and then star 1 and you'll be put into the queue. And that'll be according to how you hit it in that order. We're going to keep this kind of short. We did have a meeting last night. I'm sure some of the people tonight were on last night. And we called for this emergency meeting for the sole purpose. We wanted to keep everyone informed because we're very concerned about meeting the deadline for April 7th. What happened was that the county clerk refused or rejected. Actually, they received our paperwork and filed it on Monday. Everybody's been served, and we should be going up on the 7th, but then the county clerk decided to rescind the number. And we went straight to the court with our papers, which we had to file and everything on it, but they've already been notified that it's been rescinded. We told them that was a violation of federal and state law and that they need to fix that quick. We sat around for a while talking with the sheriff's deputies for quite some time. They were very pleasant, and as a matter of fact, they seemed to understand a little more than we realized. But in any event, I'm sure the phone lines in New York were buzzing, especially from upstate down to New York City with Prudente and all those people. And they actually came out and told us, Prudente said that they couldn't file it. Now, they didn't say that Prudente actually called because I questioned, and they were very nervous. This guy was fumbling, the court clerk, that is. He was fumbling all over himself trying to answer the questions, and I kept pushing him and intimidating him. I took advantage of that because it was just, something that might work in our benefit to really push him to take the papers. Then he almost took them. Then he decided, well, why don't you go out there and sit? And he went and made some phone calls because I think we frightened him, and rightly so, because I told him he's going to jail and that we're going to go down and have the sheriff arrest him if he didn't take these papers. So after sitting around for quite some time, they finally came out and told us they're not going to take the papers. So I guess they convinced him they can give him a cushy jail cell or something. I don't know. But right now, we're kind of working on paperwork. I should have it done over the weekend. And Monday morning, we're going down to see the sheriffs, two sheriffs, two different counties. And we're going to be pushing to have Prudente arrested. I think we have enough evidence and we have enough statutes that she had violated, and we're going to swear to it. We've got numerous people that will swear to that fact. And so sheriffs understand that. They understand a statute and they understand an affidavit, a sworn affidavit concerning the witnessing of a breaking of a law. So they have to arrest. So we'll see what's going to happen. We're going to have Prudente down in New York City arrested. That's what we're going to push for. There are two judges. Let me think. Two judges in Columbia County. We're going to push for their arrest. We're going to push for the arrest of the county clerk in Columbia County. I mean, in Greene County, and the two judges that are in Greene County, that is. And we're then going after the county clerk and the court clerk to have them arrested also in Columbia County. And we feel pretty confident we could do that. We'd be very surprised if they don't make the arrest. We're going to try to be there when they make the arrest with our paperwork. So as they, handcuff the people to take them out of the office, we're going to put the papers onto the desk and take the next clerk over and ask them if they're interested in being arrested too, or they're just going to accept those papers. And so we're going to push for another number. Then we're going to hand carry it over to the court. And if they haven't made the arrest over there yet, we'll wait until they come. And when they do that, then we'll hit the other clerk that's there and ask them if they too want to get arrested or they're just going to accept the papers. So that's kind of the way we're going to try to force this through. If that doesn't work, there are a couple of things. I'm thinking on whether I should talk about it yet. Well, I guess we will talk about one next step up. If the sheriffs refuse to do their job, then I think we're going to have to play hardball with them and let them know straight out that they understand that you're now committing felony rescue. You're breaking a code yourself. You have a duty to arrest someone when a crime has been committed and you have a sworn affidavit. You cannot get out from underneath this. And if you decide to try to get out from underneath this, then we're just going to go, well, we'll talk to your undersheriff and see if he'll arrest you. He probably won't, but that's okay. Then we're going to go to the marshal. Now the marshal is going to come down. I'm sure he will make the arrest, the proper arrest, because at that point, the judicial system in those two counties have completely failed. And the marshals have no other choice but to act at that point. And I'm sure we can convince them. There seems to be some kind of a quote-unquote elite marshal force up in Albany, which is within the district of what we're talking about. And they claim to be, you know, their big thing is corruption in the political and judicial realms. So we're going to see how true that is if we have to go to that point. So that's kind of the plan. I'm kind of thinking because we're, you know, balancing, teetering on this date situation, I'm wondering if it may be wise to just change it because, you know, 1 week may be enough. I'll tell you what, if we can get these papers filed on Monday, we're going to keep the 7th, okay? If we don't get it filed on Monday, and we will reveal that on Monday, meeting, and we will put, as soon as we know what's going on, we will send out an email. And that won't get out till later in the day, but we'll get that out. And then Monday night's meeting, of course, we're going to, you know, let you know what happened, whether, hey, the date has been back resealed, or, you know, we're going to have to push it to another date. So we'll know that on Monday for sure. But right now, if all goes well on Monday morning and Monday afternoon, then the date will stand and we're going to go forward. So we thought it was important that we get an emergency meeting out, so because a lot of people, we're getting calls from people looking to travel from different states. We've got calls from Florida, Washington, Oregon, Maryland, and Texas, and Pennsylvania, Connecticut, New Jersey, and of course New York. And we don't want people to be traveling or making arrangements that they maybe can't cancel or frustrate them. So whatever arrangements you're going to be making for anybody who is going to travel to New York for this, and we appreciate anyone who does do the traveling, but anybody that is going to make any kind of arrangements, they're probably going to want to wait off till at least after Monday night. We're also going to try to get conference with the judge. He seems to be very well protected. He's almost impossible to talk to. But we want to get in touch with the judge. We want to have a sit down with him and make him understand what his role is. But we also want to make sure that he understands, don't even think about changing that date. If we're sealing this date today, it's going to be sealed because we have people traveling from all over the place to come here. And so don't even think about it. We already wrote that in the papers, but we want to verbalize it to the judge, if they think they're going to do something like that. So anyway, with that, that's pretty much the announcement for the evening. We will talk for a while. We'll take questions. And I do see a few people in the queue. Anybody wants to get in there, press *6 and *1, and you'll be put into the queue. Meanwhile, we've got, it looks like, 201 Jersey. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. Jason Berg from New Jersey. How you doing?
Good.
Fantastic. I'm really good to hear that we're marching forward, regardless of what they're doing. I'd like to be able to go after their bonds and oaths so they can be materially raped of their properties, since they've been raping the people for so long.
That is something that will happen at some point. It's not the first and foremost thing. We will have them. We've already asked for their oaths and bonds to be sealed because they're going to be considered for trial, and mm-hmm. we want to know where all of their assets are. So we've already went through that, and but of course we will not touch anything until they're found guilty, and then we would be able to do something. But in any event, that's kind of secondary.
Right. And that's a secondary, but again, I and my state leader, Phil, we're just sick and tired of being neglected, overlooked by our civil servants, not our civil masters, and we just want to be able to chop their legs off and say, excuse me, oh, does that hurt? Let me go for another arm. And I think everyone is to the point of, John, you're being too merciful.
I do appreciate what you're saying, but we have to come in with a sense of mercy. We got to come in letting them know we're not on a witch hunt. We have to be. Look, I do get a little pushy sometimes, but that's only when someone, you know, in person with the clerks or the cops or whoever I'm talking to. But that's only when I start to realize they're just playing a game with me. And I don't want to hear it no more. So I start to interrogate them. And I know that they're frightened because I'm sure they're not just afraid of me for any particular reason other than the fact that maybe the paperwork we wrote. And these people stutter and fall all over themselves. I mean, they literally get to the point where they're speaking and words do not come out. I thought it was, you know, it's quite revealing. Okay, so we could take advantage of that. And we're not doing that to... you know, to be mean or anything to the person. It's just that they're not answering correctly, and we know they're lying. So I use the opportunity I have to intimidate them to make them fall all over themselves and maybe get the truth out of them.
Well, I think I really think that when we're doing that, this is a suggestion that any time we go into the court proceedings that we in the clerk's office that we videotape their patheticness. And, you know, stand vigilant. And I just, you know, last Thursday I was almost arrested under status quo with no authority. And the Hudson County lawyer couldn't even find anything. So then he told me to do an OPRA, and that's open public files request. And when that comes down, for the last 25 or more years, they've been neglecting, stopping people from, delivering, issuing the documents. Now, my document I was giving out was a non-partisan. It was about the National Liberty Alliance, and to be threatened. And also, I have an attorney that's going to be talked to by the Jersey City prosecutors because I'm in a case, and it's witness tampering and making fear into that person. Well, I don't take kindly to any threats or any intimidation because, again, I'm here for the long haul, John, and I'm not out for blood, but you strike me, I'm out for it.
Anything else?
No, John. Thank you very much for keeping us informed and doing a fantastic job. God bless you, and God save our republic from the bureaucrats.
Right. Amen. All right, let me take the next caller. Patrick, you got the mic. You should be unmuted. Patrick? Lacey?
Yes, hello, John. Actually, it was more of a concern. I've been watching Bill Thornton, and one of the things he says is when you're in their court, he says you probably want to play by their rules. And I'm bringing the point where when we go to New York, we're going to go up there and we're going to go into their court, and, you know, when they say, "I'll rise," you want us not to rise. I'm just kind of saying, you know, maybe we ought to rethink that.
Well, we will rethink that. We'll take any suggestions and reconsider them, and we'll talk about it on Monday. But right now, in my mind, I'm thinking not for numerous reasons. If we get to meet with the judge on Monday, okay, and he's a nice guy and he seems to be playing ball, then he's a justice. He's going to be acting as a justice instead of a judge. Then maybe we should rise. So we'll see how that goes. But the bottom line is this. He's a servant and a judge, and he's representing the corporation. And any time he's cooperating with us is because we got him tied down, and he doesn't like it. And so, therefore, when he walks out into this court, he's going to be looking for a way to try to take this court back because he's going to be under orders and to do so. And that's why, right off the bat, I think it's a huge intimidation thing by just not rising. I think that's just going to send such a big message to this guy, you know, because he's not going to make a big deal. I said everybody rise or something like that. They're not going to make that big a deal about it because if they did, they're going to look really like a bunch of morons and they're going to look egotistic. But no, look, the proper way is when they come out, they bring the Bible out, they set the Bible on the table, and the judge comes out, and you say, "All rise," as long as he's a justice and not a judge, hey, no problem. You're rising for the Word of God. and you're rising for the justice who is representing justice, and he deserves that recognition for that office. But right now they're not holding that kind of an office. They're holding that kind of office only because we might force them to hold that kind of office, and so this is just the first way of doing it. But we'll rethink it.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Let's go on to Daniel. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John. It's Dan from Connecticut. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Daniel?
Good. Question, the hearing that is going to occur on April 7th, if they don't appear there, there will be arrest warrants issued for their arrest, correct?
Right. We will have arrest warrants for every single person in that courthouse that we're coming up against, including the judge himself, in our back pocket, so to speak, and we'll pull them out as needed. We will also have an indictment in our back pocket for the judge, should he try to take over the tribunal. And so we're going to be as prepared as possible with all the necessary paperwork. Those are two particular kinds of paperwork that we will be, having in our back pocket.
But you're going to have meetings with somebody beginning in next week. Is that correct?
We're going to go down. We're going to have meetings with two sheriffs, two different counties on Monday, and we're going to demand arrests.
Okay, so if you do demand the arrests, then will you still have the hearing on April 7th?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The arrests were going out after the people who were preventing us from going in, particularly Prudente. And you see, the key thing is to make a show. You know, if you walk into the county clerk and they've just shut you out, I mean, what they've done is they've shut us out totally. We filed a court case, even though we're taking control of that court as a court of record, and we put up a quoranto. They understand exactly what we've done now. There's no doubt about it. They understand the power and the authority we're coming by. They understand what we've done, and they're frightened. And the only thing that this woman can do was to intimidate this clerk and others to prevent them from doing anything. And that's what she's done. So when we walk in there with the...
She's one of the judges who's supposed to appear on April 7th up in...
No.
Okay.
She's already been indicted, and we're demanding her arrest anyway.
Okay.
So... But the point is this. If we walk into the county clerk's office where they took our papers and rescinded them, and we have those papers in our hand, and we walk in with the sheriff, and the sheriff goes and walks behind the bar there and arrests people, start putting the bracelets on them and ushering them out and letting them know they have a right to be silent and all that stuff, as they're doing that, we're going to put the papers onto the counter, ask for the next clerk, hey, you, come on over here. You got a choice. You want to take these papers, or do you want to follow them to jail? You see, we're going to take advantage and use that as a leverage.
Right. And then
we're
going to
do the same thing up at the courthouse.
Okay. And the remaining judges will have to appear on April 7th.
Oh, then they have no choice but to appear.
Right.
And if they don't appear, they'll be arrested.
Okay. That's all I want to know.
And again, you know, we're talking kind of tough here. And we're presuming we're going to be able to get this done. And I think we have a very, you know, a good – look, we got a lot of clout, verbally speaking. They are frightened to death. And people are moving and people – look, when we went in there and when we were laying into the court clerk, someone went out and got a cop, and he came in, you know, it was a sheriff, deputy, and he came in, he was standing there. At first, he looked like he was going to start to intimidate us, but we talked about the law and stuff, and he kind of backed off, and later on, he was outside talking with us, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, he's retiring soon. He was telling us about his AKs and M16s or whatever it was. I forget which ones he had. And all the ammunition. He's getting ready. He understood. So he kind of loosened up to us when we were talking. And so he understands that something is coming down crazy and there's something wrong. And he does agree with us when we were talking. We told him nothing but RICO going in these courts. People are being destroyed. Lives are being destroyed. Families are being destroyed. And he agreed with us. You know, he agreed with us, there's no doubt. And we joked around, he was laughing, and another deputy over there, well, you know, we got along pretty good with them people.
Good. Well, I'll see you on April 7th.
He said something against the judges, and he said, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. So he agreed with us about the judge, that they were no good.
Right.
Good. All right, well, I'll see you on April 7th. Thank you.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's going to be April 7th. If it's not April 7th, it'll be a different date, but we will get something.
Okay.
Okay.
So, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Next caller, let's see, Deborah, you got the mic.
John?
Yes, go right ahead, Deborah.
Oh, hi. No, this, actually, this is Kate, and I'm from Columbia County, and I was wondering which judge we got assigned. I missed yesterday's meeting.
Well, we didn't get any judge assigned to us yet.
Oh.
Do you know the judges up there?
Kind of. I mean, I kind of know one of them, but, I mean, I kind of know Jonathan Nichols.
Does he sound like a good guy, or what's your impression?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I know him socially, so I, you know, I don't know. But I think he may be okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't know anything about the other two, unfortunately.
Okay.
But I was also wondering, so was it the court clerk, or was it Holly Tanner that gave you trouble?
Holly Tanner.
It was both. No. The court, both Holly and, you know, let's go back here. You're talking about the
county clerk.
That was Holly.
Yeah.
Holly was one, and then there was another lady.
Yeah, like Morlock both or something.
Yeah, I got their names written down, but I just don't see them in front of me right now. But, yeah, look, they were both knew what was going on. Obviously, the county clerk pushed her out there, you know, to throw her as a pawn, and we frightened her a little bit. It was a recorded conversation, so we got everything recorded. And then she put her hand over the phone, and because we told her we need to talk to her, and she said, "Wait a second." And I don't know whether she put the hand over the phone or kind of just stuck it to her side or something, but we can hear her clearly saying to her, "They want to talk to you. They want to talk to you." And we didn't hear the answer to that, but then she came back on and said, "She's not here. She's still in the meeting." And I called her a liar right then and there. I don't think I directly called her a liar. I told her she wasn't telling the truth. No, I think I did. Did I say she was lying? I think I did say she's lying.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and listen to the tape. But clearly I told her, I said, that's not true. She's standing right there. We just heard you tell. I got it on tape. You know, we just heard you tell her that they wanted to talk to you. And she was denying that. So we know, she knows, they all know, and look it, we told her to go, and twice she walked away from the phone, if I recall.
And that was,
Holly, to tell her.
Who you were dealing with, who lied to you?
I don't remember which one it was. Is Holly not the
county clerk. Yeah.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't get on the phone. Holly wouldn't get on the phone. She put her inferior clerk on there, her deputy clerk.
Yeah, well, that comes as a surprise from, you know how they have the county plates? She put her initials on the county plates instead of CC for Columbia County. She has all the county plates now are HT for Holly Tanner, so, you know.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
she's
that tells you what kind of person you're dealing with. Although, I have to say, and this may have just been for, you know, election purposes, when all the SAFE Act stuff came out, she was very supportive of,
She's probably a Republican.
She is.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. All the Republicans that don't, there's a lot of Republicans that don't understand what's going on.
I don't know if, I know this isn't about politics, but yeah, she's a big wig Republican and in the local party, so.
Sharon Molino was the one on the phone, and Holly Tanner is the clerk that wouldn't get onto the phone. And I told Sharon that she was probably going to be arrested for this if she didn't do her duty, and she was good with that. I was very surprised. She even sounded high-spirited a little bit to some degree on that. And I think towards the end she got a little nervous, but I think they gave her a BS. Hey, don't worry, these guys said nothing. Yeah, that's why they're not talking to us. You know?
Right. Anyways. Okay, well, that's all I wanted.
And the other guy, the other clerk up at the court also was the same way. He was welcoming being arrested. He said, "Well, that's what's going to happen." I said, "It's going to happen." I said, 1 to 3 years. That's what you're going to get if you continue this way, because we're going to take it to the sheriff. This is serious stuff.
Right.
And then at the end, he got nervous, and that's when we sat out there for an hour, and he was on the phone. He was probably trying to get out from under being the guy to deal with this. At least I would. That's what I would do.
Well, what happened is the night before, the day before, the chief court clerk led us to believe that if we came up there and presented the paperwork to the court, that they would take it. And then what happened is the attorneys probably got a hold of him in between, and so then he took sick to work. He wasn't there. And he told this other lower echelon pawn there.
No, that guy was the judge's private clerk, you know, the law clerk. That's a, the court clerk was out that day. Yes. He probably did take off purposely.
Yeah, well, what happened is that the attorney said, don't take their paperwork. You're not doing under any circumstances. Look, we got this letter from Prudenti that said not accept any paperwork for common law grand juries attempting to try to start common law juries. But you see, they're lying to them. First of all, that paperwork is illegal, which she said is illegal. It's RICO. It's everything. But she didn't. Prudente didn't say don't accept a filing on a court case against me. She has no authority to say that. But what they're telling her is that Prudente's the queen of hearts up there sitting up on her throne, and that she said not take any paper, no way, no how. That's not what she said. The attorneys are telling the workers that this is what Prudente's paper means, that we're not to file any paperwork, because the attorneys are probably telling them if they file paperwork and they get into court, we're all going to jail, all of us, the attorneys and the judges and everybody, because they all know what their crimes are. Nobody can upset them as much as their own consciences can, and that's what's going on right now. So I'm sure Prudente didn't get on the phone and tell them don't accept the court case against me, but the attorneys have advised the workers that that's what that paperwork means, and that's legal, and that's what they should do, and there's nothing we could do about it. And that's a lie. And I told them, I said, listen, that attorney that told you to do this, he's not going to go to jail. You are, because he's
right.
Going to lie. He's going to say, I didn't tell him that. So when push comes to shove and we bring this to court, by you doing it because you're the public servant, the public official that's committing the crime of keeping us out, you're going to go to jail. And he's going to just step back and say, I don't know what she's talking about. I said, you better think about it.
Huh.
Anything else?
No. No.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go to the next call. I don't want to be too late tonight. So.
Okay. Right, thank you.
Okay. Wireless caller, 518.
Yeah, it's me, John.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
Hey, you know what I was thinking was, what about Preet Bharara down in New York City?
Who's
he's
that?
Big. He's a New York.
That's the guy we were looking at that indicted all those people. He's the Indian guy, John. Remember, we were looking at his articles.
Yeah.
Tariq
Obera. Yeah. Preet Bharara or something.
All right,
let's talk about
it after the call.
Yeah, he's a state attorney or something, right?
Call me on my number. We're gonna have a private call after the call, just for a few minutes with a few people, and then I got to get to bed early tonight because we got travel tomorrow. So, but let's talk about that for a few minutes after the call. We'll try to get the details and see what we can work out.
He's the one that said New York courts are corrupt from Albany South, are the most corrupt courts of the nation. That was Preet Bharara that said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's the guy.
All right, we'll see if we can give him a call. Okay, well, let's talk after this call. Let me go. Anything else?
No. There was, but never mind. I'll talk to you afterwards. I'll ring number.
All right. Okay, let's go to the next caller then. Donald, go right ahead. You got the mic or the phone. 206, Donald?
Yes, this is Rosie.
Hey, how you doing, Rosie?
Good, thank you. I have a question. Does this system work on stopping the smart meters?
Well, of course, because they're a health hazard to begin with, so that's good enough to get rid of them. Also, the control on people is another problem. And, once we get control back of our country, there's a lot of other alternatives to electric. We don't even need the electric system we've got set up the way it is. If people who understand that there's technology out there that's way beyond.
Right.
It's been around for a long time. Huh?
They don't allow it.
Well, that's well. They're not going to be around to allow or not allow,
right.
or to allow anything once
right.
we're done
right.
with what we're doing.
Okay.
So
another,
we the people will allow it.
Okay. Another thing is just a suggestion. Like when we get people to sign up for the group, only the organizers show on the list under each county. Is there
correct.
A way that everybody who signs up can show? So we can tell who signed up?
No, they chose to be in the background and not to have their name show up, so we don't put it out there. And but the state coordinator has access to them, and if county organizers wanted to get a message to everyone in the state or everyone in that county, you can the state coordinator to go and send an email. They could blast an email to the entire state right off the site. And so they can do whatever is necessary, but they are not to share that list with many people.
How did they share it? Because, like, for instance, one person signs up, there is a little box that says organizer, but they look at it, they think, oh, there's already an organizer, so I'm not going to be the organizer. Then
they can go into their back office, their profile, and recheck that box anytime.
Oh, so everybody will become an organizer to show
well,
up?
Well, no, people who want to become an organizer,
okay.
if they want to, they can go up to My Account on the top, right under the blue bar, click on My Account, and they can edit their profile and make a change. They can put their name on or take their name off at will. It's whatever they want to do. Some people just chose not to have them. A lot of people are working at helping organizing, but their name isn't up because they don't want it there. And that's their prerogative. So we don't want to give it out to people if they don't want it to be given out.
Okay.
Now, the state coordinator, if you are doing something and you want to let everybody know in the state and try to, you know, that's what you should be working together with other organizers anyway. And the state coordinator has an email program built into the system, and they can send out an email to everybody in the state,
okay.
To tell them about some event or whatever they want to message, they want to get out to them. And not to abuse that, but whenever it's necessary. They also have access to all their phone numbers, so they could make some phone calls if they felt that to do a campaign. I mean, we're doing that in New York. We're calling everybody in New York to try to get them activated. And but that list is not to be shared with people. Only maybe if you have two state coordinators or three, then those are the people that will be working that list. It's not to be really shared with people.
Okay.
And at some point when we start to take a seat in the courts, then we'll start to be moving into a different mode, and it'll become administrators, okay, and all the administrators will have access to everyone
right.
in their state, you know, but that's later.
Yeah, the other issue is everybody that signs up is signing up to be in a jury pool, grand jury or trial jury. You don't want to be publishing the names of jurors if they're going to be indicting and putting people away. It's a secret list for that reason, because these real evil guys, you know, they if they could find out who the grand jurors were, you know, they could pull some stuff. So it's always done in secret. So you don't want to put them out there anyway.
Got it.
And potentially everyone in the state is a potential jurist, because we have the opportunity to call anyone up, and we will be, you know, because we'll exhaust the list we have in the beginning. We'll exhaust the people very quickly, and we'll be going into the voting rolls. But at some point, I think we'll start to build up super, sort of a super focus by people. I think a lot of people just want to come in and join up just to get onto the list because they want to do it now, you know?
Yes.
Hopefully. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the next caller. Let's see. 602, no name. 602.
Oh, it's Marianne.
Hey, how you doing, Marianne?
In Phoenix. I'm working on something that I think I may be able to get published about this, and I want to tie it into the event in New York. And I'm wondering if it would be better to publish before or just after everything happens.
Well, if you can get things moving to focus in and give them a hit by hit is one thing, and then of course when the event happens, you know, you'll maybe have more people watching. However you want to do that, though.
Okay. That was it.
Okay. Thank you. Gage, you got the mic.
Yeah, John, it's Jerry in New York. How are you?
How you doing, Jerry?
Yep. I'm doing the best I can, thanks.
Okay.
In light of the situation of a pending arrest, there are two kinds of arrests that I'm familiar with. One is arrest with a warrant. One is arrest without a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
I presume that the arrest is going to be without a warrant. If the
Absolutely. It's a sworn statement by injured parties and witnesses.
Then after the arrest is effected, is the game plan to take these people before a magistrate for a...
Well, that is the way it should go, and the magistrate should be doing the right thing, and I'm going to do everything I can to find out when that's going to happen, so as many of us as possible will get to that hearing.
Okay, I just wondered if there were provisions, if you've thought about the provisions for taking this judge before another judge and the likelihood of what that judge is going to do.
Well, he's going to do the right thing. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves indicted and arrested too, aren't they? Felony rescue.
Okay. That's
you know, we're going to be right on top of this. You know, of course, this is our avenue in. And listen, you know, once they take that paperwork and the seventh comes and goes, they're done then at that point, because I don't see any way they can defeat what we put together here. And so once we get Seidel in the courtrooms, they know they're done. They're going to be on their best behavior until they can leave town. They're probably going to be, you know, collecting their stocks, emptying out their banks. And, you know, I can't believe that they would stick around, to be honest with you.
Listen, any judge that gets put up on trial will not be judged by another judge. He will be judged by a tribunal of a jury, of a common law grand jury of his peers. There's no judge going to be making decisions. It's the jury. That's what we're about. We're certainly not going to let a judge make the sentence or you know what I mean, make the innocent or guilty of a judge. It's impossible.
Right. The only thing that judge can do is let them free without a bond or a bail, which I'll tell you what, if I'm at that courtroom, I'm going to get up and say, excuse me, I've sat in enough of these places to see what goes on, and everybody gets a bond. Everybody gets a bail. What makes this guy any different?
Right. I understand that. I suspect.
Okay.
And
of course, he'll do whatever he wants to do, but we're going to remember that.
Yeah. Okay, that answers my question. Thank you, and good luck. God bless you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, next caller, 917. You got the mic or the phone open. How come you didn't unmute? Oh, there you go. You got the mic, 917. 391.
Hi, John. Just disregard that. Thank you.
How you doing?
Yeah, disregard the question.
Oh, disregard it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take the next caller. 518, middle, what is that? Middle BG.
Middleburg.
Oh, okay.
How you doing, gentlemen?
How you doing, Middleburg?
Yeah.
How you doing there, Mr. Bag of Beans?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm loving it. I want you guys on my case no matter what goes on.
All right.
Hey, listen, I was wondering, I read through it over the past couple of days, and I'm wondering, I hate to be this way, but is there any way we can get a proofreader? It seems like there's a couple of words there that were over.
You know what? They write. They can't even write third grade level. They make much more spelling errors, and they don't have any English correction. You know, their English is a mess, and they can't even speak straight, and they don't have good punctuation. And look, it is a big document. We do a lot of writing. We do have some people proofread it, but even the proofreaders make mistakes or miss things, and it is what it is, you know. But, yeah, I don't know that... It's tough. You know, I read a lot of the founder stuff, and, boy, I see errors in there, too.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get this lady that's a legal secretary. She used to be.
Uh-huh.
And she's hot on this, you know. She's up there in Montgomery County. And I just thought maybe it would be an avenue if she could, you know, put her skills to use, maybe.
Right. Well, she can give me a call, and we can use her as a second reader. We do have two people that read. and make corrections, and if she wants to participate too. But we don't wait around. When the paper's done, it goes out. They need to get on it right away. They need to get back. We need to make the corrections and move on. Once we move into a second day, depending on the importance of the paper, we just take it with what we got and go.
And that's part of the problem, because a lot of these papers get done at 3 in the morning, and everybody's tired, and even our proofreaders miss stuff. And a lot of times we are in a hurry because we have a deadline to meet. So, you know, on the stuff that's gonna that we have more time, we can be more careful with, obviously.
Okay. Well, you're in my prayers. Another thing was, what was I going to say there? If this goes through, is this dissolved just the court system?
Did you mean when this goes through?
No, because it's definitely going through.
Oh, okay.
It's just a matter of time. Is it the court system or the whole state of New York? Because I got people asking me that.
We're only whispering that in the alleys. We're not saying.
it's everything. It's everything. It's the whole enchilada
here.
The
whole corporate charter.
Whoa, we're not going to talk about that.
Because,
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, because, see, if
that,
it was just
we're
the
not
courts,
talk
they're, not,
about
they're not afraid of that. But if it's just like, you know, then what do we do? They're saying to me...
Oh, no. They're afraid of the courts. But the corporate charter, for anybody who understands what we're talking about and is reading the papers, they see what we said in there. They should understand what we're saying. But we're not going to talk about it. It's
okay.
Just not wise to talk about it.
I just want to have my info right when I'm doing it, and I didn't really get that one way.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And when you talk to anybody about it, if you understand what we're doing, don't tell them what we're doing. Just keep it to yourself. It's just not wise to talk about that subject.
Okay,
because that's a powerful subject.
Well, these are people that are with us.
It doesn't matter. We don't. Well, either they read it and they see it, or they don't. We just should not be talking about that subject. We had to get it in there, so it's in there, and we made it as obscure as possible. But it's just not wise to let's talk. Let's focus in on the other part of it.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Okay, John. All right.
Anything else?
No, except for I was wondering. Sometime it looks like we're going to have to start. Having some classes to teach the administrators. We're planning
that, but, you know,
we
got to find
the
time to start putting that stuff together, and we will. We are. As a matter of fact, we're looking for funding. If we can get funding, of course, and we still get people that promise, but it hasn't come through yet. But if we ever get it, Then we can actually hire people to do some of the stuff we're doing, and then we can spend time on more things of that nature, which you're talking about. And also, you know, I'm not. A lot of people still call me and they want to get advice on cases. I'm not taking any new cases. I'm not helping anybody anymore with any new cases whatsoever until after we get past this big. Big thing we're getting through right now, because we really have to focus. And all their cases will be fixed just by fixing the courts. You know, if we have justice in the courts, everybody has a case going to be able to go and get justice. And they don't need a lawyer to go before a judge to get justice. They go in and tell the story. You know.
Exactly.
And the judge isn't going to decide for you anyway. It's going to be a group of people. And you know what happens? Most cases are going to be settled outside of the court by the four or by the grand jury. And even while it's heading to trial, you know, the grand jury can intervene and if they want to make an arrangement and cancel the trial and make the arrangement. Settle it without going to trial.
Okay. See you Monday night.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Kimberly, you're next.
Hey, John. This is Marge from California. And
how
I just
want
to say that in regard to the gentleman's last concern, and he should have the concern, how are we going to train our administrators? Well, as far as I'm concerned, we have a marvelous start, and you did it yourself. And that start is the Common Law Handbook for jurors, sheriffs, bailiffs, and justices. It is under the Juris tab. You go into Documents under the Juris tab, and you're going to see a beautiful video about this fabulous handbook here. And it just tells it like it is. And anyone that's absolutely upset about all the great, you know, the abundance of knowledge that we're going to have to learn, and it's sort of overwhelming, you'll be happy to see the 9 UC codes there, that if we just know those, it's like we've done 5 years of law. So, you know, just we actually already have a textbook. And I just wanted to share that with you because you've done an amazing job on it, and it's easy to understand. And when you pull it off on the PDF, the printing is good. It's not, you know, like the size of a baby ant. And it's just a great and easy thing to read, and it really is easy to understand. So the 2 people so far that have want to become administrators for my county, they're reading their textbooks right now, which is super. So I want to thank you for that. And then I also want to ask everybody on this line tonight for their prayers, because I need to go within the next 8 or 9 days or so to get the keys to my jury room here. And I know they're not going to have cake and balloons for me, okay? So I'd
sure?
like to have as much prayer as I can, because I'm just going to forge ahead, and that's all I have to say. So thank you for the textbook. You've done an amazing job.
We appreciate that. And that handbook, if you print it out straight out as a, you know, just a regular printing, it is rather large. I think it's 14 font or something like that. And and if you print it, if you have a printer that can do a booklet form both sides, then it'll reduce it a little bit, and that's why it was made big originally anyway. It'll reduce it a little bit, and when your printing is done, all you have to do is fold those pages together and staple the center, and you got a nice little booklet. I've got quite a few booklets I've traveled and give out to some people. Matter of fact, we're going to make one for this, a couple for the sheriff that we're going to meet on Monday, a couple of sheriffs. And we did negotiate a very good price with some people to do the same people who print off for the constitutional pocketbooks. They're giving us a very good price. Matter of fact, I've been wanting to talk about this to see if we can kind of get some, you know, people to commit to some orders so we can see how many we can order. You know, if we get to a certain number, you know, it's so much per booklet, and you have to buy them by the 100. And if you get to another number, then it's so much per booklet. So, you know, the more we can, you know, purchase, the cheaper we can get it for. And once we get something going, again, it'll be real cheap. We're going to try to get it down maybe about 45, 55 cents, maybe even cheaper than that. I know the constitutional handbooks are going for, like, I think 30 cents or 35 cents a piece. And I think once we hit a certain number, we can probably get it down that low. I haven't paid attention because we've been so involved with so many things. I got to get back to that, negotiating that deal there. And, again, we keep talking about money, and we do have promises from people. But, again, you know, nothing has come through. But if this one promise comes through, then you know, we'll be able to go out and buy maybe 10,000 or 20,000 to get it really cheap, just right off the bat, and then ship them to people who want them at the lowest price we can get them for. But yeah, those booklets are extremely important. If anybody really wants to get a real schooling on law, that's the booklet to grab, because I think it does lay everything out pretty good.
And you know, John, even in the large form, 8.5 by 11 with a big print, hey,
yeah,
when you're studying the whole thing, there's nothing wrong with having it in that personal format for yourself.
Of course not.
Because
yeah,
you can take the highlighter pen and go, whoa, I better remember
right.
this. Whoa.
Right.
And then it's easier for you to study that way, and kind of easy for you to have a conference call with your administrators, and then you can go over with these salient points in this handbook. So, you've just done more than you think you've done to help the administrators in the future. Thanks, John.
Yeah, and we're also going to do PowerPoint videos like we did on the front page. We're going to do instructional PowerPoint videos to train people on the administrative side of things. We did write some papers. There's some papers up there. You read through them and it tells you about the job and the pay the job, what kind of a pay it is, what exactly is your job. You know, we've got those kind of papers written up on the Jurist page, document page. That's a very important page. I haven't spoken about that for a while, but that is probably one of the most important pages we have, is that Jurist document page. People should be on top of that page and look at every document on that.
Right. There's also a page that you've done entitled How to Take Power.
Right.
I'm not
crazy about
it, but you do say how to take power because there are specific steps.
Mm-hmm. All right, anything else?
That's it. That's enough.
Okay.
So thank you, John. I'm praying for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, next caller, 845, Mid-Hudson Valley here somewhere. 8541? 845.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Sheila from Orange County.
Oh,
New
how
York.
You doing, Sheila? Yeah.
Hi. No, I just had a question regarding the handbook. Under Jurist, it says, you know, it gives you the list of documents, and I hadn't looked at that. I just went under the handbook, and it says under Reconstruction. So.
Oh, that's the one that, yeah, you know, I probably should take that off until we get it up there. That is where we're going to be putting the people to be able to purchase the book there once we get that going. But no, if you go under Jurist and you come down to Jurist Documents and you click on that, you will find that page there. And you'll find a lot of other, you know, we've tried to keep, you know, make some one-page, two-page documents that give information on specific things, you know. And so, you know, we have the plan up there. We have how to form a grand jury up there. We have the grand jury under attack. We've got, of course, this booklet we're talking about, grand jury handbook. It's print ready. We have... just a lot of good documents up here that people really should be looking at, reading, and probably printing out. You know, if you print out one document a day and go through it, like study it, read through it, and then the next day do the same thing. We also have, the affidavit, the Jurist Oath, okay, which is different. We don't take an oath to the Constitution because we're above the Constitution. Right. We take an oath to the... the governor of the universe, and part of our oath is to make sure that our servants keep the Constitution.
Correct. Right. So. Right. Absolutely. Okay. Well, that's pretty much it. And again, like with everyone else, I have seen a lot, and I mean, you guys are it. I mean, I have, you know, pretty much researched the site. You're very, very informative. You're not playing any games, and I think they know it. So on that note, just God bless to all, and I'm just so happy that, you know, I hear real voices, because usually it's the computer, it's comments, it's, you know, in the real world, people, a lot of them are still asleep, but not anymore. And I'm just so thankful, you know, that your parents made you. And would you please tell them I said thank you? And
well, I think God made us, and that's the key there. So.
Yeah, of course.
But yes,
of course.
Yes,
I had
a very decent upbringing. So
yeah, that's
praise,
what
praise
I'm
God
saying.
For that.
Right,
yes.
And God. You know, he rules everything we do, breathing everything. But I'm
Amen.
Just saying, two people brought together, if that hadn't happened, then, you know, and God went through those two people to create something special from him. And so I truly believe you're God sent to all of us. And
well, to God be the glory.
Yes, absolutely. He has all the glory, but I glorify him for sending vessels, connections to the pipes, the elbows, to keep us moving the stream. So
well, amen. And
he has sent us a lot
of good people throughout the whole country, too. So, you know,
yeah.
We've got people really rising up all over the place, and we should be thankful for that.
Oh,
amen.
I am. I'm thankful for every video, every information. There are people, you know, putting videos together. There are people writing articles, blogging. All of them are shining. All of them are special. I believe it's like God's army.
And that's right.
So I think we all know who we are. And so it's many. It's really many. And I just thank you. And it's my pleasure and my honor. So just have a good night, and I won't take up any more of your time.
Hey, thanks for the kind words. All right.
No problem.
That was the last call. Unless somebody has something, they can raise their hand and we'll get into the box. If not, we'll close down. I
Next
don't want to
questioner.
Take too much longer anyway, but we do have two more people, so we'll take them. It's 10 after 10. We're going to close down shortly because I do have to travel this weekend. And I will post this. I'm going to try to post this tonight before I go to sleep, so it'll be up there over the weekend. So if anybody knows anybody that missed this and they wanted to listen in, they'll be able to. But wireless caller 585, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
This is Angela from Ontario County, New York.
Oh, how you doing, Angela?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that we are having a meeting, a regional meeting in Rochester tomorrow to discuss all this stuff. So anybody
Great.
In the area, hopefully they will show up.
All right.
That's all.
Do you want to give an address or anything? Or
it's at T.T. Riley's on RIT campus. It's 200 Park Point Drive in Rochester.
All right.
And it's at 3 p.m., so we'll be discussing all this, everything you're talking about.
Great, so. Great. That's what we need to be doing. Everybody needs to be meeting, and if you can't do it physically, you know, this free conference call in HD is one of the best programs we've ever used, and it's absolutely free. And you can get up to this. Yeah?
Yeah, hopefully we're going to be doing this regularly. This is our first one. So
right.
Anybody
well, it's good to meet physically, too, from time to time if you can do it.
Certainly.
So,
okay, thanks,
yeah.
John. I appreciate everything you're doing.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let's take our next caller here, TLIC Worldwide. Did I lose TLIC? I think I did. Wireless caller, 585. Wireless caller, was that you, caller 585? I don't know what happened there. All right, let me go to the next caller. 304, you got it. 304, area code 304.
Yeah, it's Drake.
Hey, how you doing, Drake?
I'm pretty good, John. I got a question as to enforcement. I see you're here running through sheriffs, and you say the Marshal Service will probably pick up, but you're not sure. And I'm curious as to whether you people are in a position to put together some sort of office that would offer the enforcement required.
Well, we want to use the process in place, and we've got other things we can pull upon also. We don't think the sheriffs are going to disobey the law, because that's why we're going to sit down with them to explain it to them very clearly on terms that they can understand. We know it's difficult for them to see when a judge breaks his oath on a bench, and if they're in the courtroom, they're unable to see that. And that's unfortunate. Most people are unable to see that. But what we're going to show them are statutes that were made to control our servants. And that they understand, and that they can see. They know already. I know Gerard spoke with... We spoke together with the lieutenant out in which I think he's the undersheriff, but the lieutenant of the sheriff in Columbia County, and we're trying to get to sit with him on Monday. But Gerard has already spoken with the sheriff in Greene County, and he kind of knows he's going to be put on the spot. I don't know if Gerard wants to pipe in some of his thoughts on that. But we think they're going to, they don't have a choice, because either they're going to become a lawbreaker themselves. Now, why won't they do it? There's only two reasons why they won't do it. One is they're frightened, maybe, okay? And that, I think, is the key thing. The second reason, maybe, is because they got the phone call. Don't do it, okay? So now they're going to have to compromise themselves on either one of the, whatever the excuse that they have in their own mind, whatever reason they're going to act if they don't act. We're going to put the pressure on them, and we're going to shine that light on them, and we're going to let them know that we're going to have them arrested, too, because you now just became part of the crime. We've explained this very clearly, and we're going to do this in writing, too. And we've laid everything out. We've got all of the affidavits. We've showed you the law. We've wrote everything out on a paper, made it very clear. We sat down with you, and my handy little recorder here recorded it all. And if you don't do it, well, we'll go to the next step. You know, maybe we'll ask the sheriff of the other county to arrest the sheriff of this county if he doesn't do his job. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I don't know how we're going to go along with this yet. It's going to be like, sort of off the hip at the time. But there is the marshal on the next step. The marshal is a little more educated and much more.
You're talking about Federal Marshal Service, right?
That's right. We have one in that has a boasting website talking about how they take down crooked judges and crooked politicians. That's his website is like that. So we're right up his alley, and we're going to see if he's real now, you know, if we have to go there. And we don't want to go to the feds unless we have to. So, but that is one of the other things we can do.
Okay. So, all right. So you do have an alternative beyond these?
Oh, yeah, and there are other things, too, which we can't talk about.
Okay, well, I understand.
You know, but all of it is part of the judicial process. All of it is part of the law, existing structure. We're not making anything up here. It's all what's existing. We have different leverages and different things to do. There's a couple of things that we have to look into that we can also apply here. But
okay.
but we haven't reached the end of our rope. We've got a lot of rope left.
Okay. So are you going to be up for a show Sunday or what?
Oh, sure. What time?
I think it was 1 to 4, I believe, is what Tom was talking about.
Okay, 1 to 4. I could be there. I forget. Do you call me or do I call you?
You have to call in on that call-in number.
Okay. All right. Give me a call before the show to make sure I have the number. I know I have it. Oh, I see it right here. Okay, I'm looking at it. Where's your phone number? I know I have your phone number in here, but give me a call before the show, maybe 20 minutes or so before the show or something like that. Is that good?
Yes, sir. That's fine.
All right, you got my number, 233-6560.
Yeah.
And, 845 area. So, all right, sounds good.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. TLIC, I think we dropped you before. Let's see if we can get you into the mic. You got the mic.
Me, Steve from Rhode Island. You always say TLIC.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
That's my undercover thing. No, that's my it's my office phone.
Well, it takes a while to tie it to the name yet, you know.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey,
I'm a little bit on the slow side.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I just want to wish you luck. You're doing a great job. There's always obstacles, and, not a surprise.
Right. Yeah. We knew it wasn't going to be a cakewalk. We hoped it would be a cakewalk, but we knew it wasn't going to be.
Yeah. So just continue on. Have safe travel. Take care of your health.
All right. Thank you. Reliable, you are next. Let me get that. Reliable. Go right ahead.
Florida.
Who is this?
Ray Fiedler.
Hey, Ray.
Soto County, Florida. I'm a new organizer. I just jumped on board not too long ago, and I just wanted to say that it's no surprise to me that New York happened to be God's training ground for this because...
Yeah, right in the pit of hell, huh?
If we can overcome New York, we can take on anything.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
I hope to be there. In fact, I was just looking at the plane tickets. I plan on being there, but, of course, I'll wait until Monday to find out if we're going.
Uh-huh. Yes,
and I just wanted
we'll
to say
out.
Thank you, John. You're an inspiration.
Well, I appreciate your nice words. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, Gerard, what, did you get kicked offline? Gerard? You're coming in on my Skype. Did you get kicked offline? Well, maybe you don't want to talk to me anymore. I don't know. 304, Terry, go right ahead.
John, I was going to let you go to bed early, but I got to get the question in.
Uh-oh, okay.
we're in Arizona, and we're way out of reach in terms of being able to help you, but we're so frustrated that we want to pitch in. We want to do something. Is there anything, you don't have to tell us now, but if you could take a look, is there anything we can do in terms of sending some documentation other than just, urging the people to do the right thing? Are there any formal documents like I don't know, it wouldn't be an amicus brief because we're not a friend of the court, but some kind of an official document to tell them to take the proper action?
No, we can tell them to obey the Bill of Rights, but I hear what you're saying. Let's think about this. Maybe we'll discuss that a little bit on Monday.
Okay.
Offhand, I can't think of anything, but I'm sure we'll come up with something.
If there is something that we can file or, put in our court to do something, we'd be more than happy to do it. Because we're frustrated out here not being able to point fingers at them when they're standing cross-eyed anyway. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, and keep it up.
Appreciate it. Okay. All right, that brought us to the last caller, so we're going to end this for now. I appreciate everyone coming, and we'll keep you informed as much as possible. We'll send out some email when we know some stuff, and we'll definitely be covering some stuff on Monday night. We'll be more definitive on Monday night. So with that, I guess we're done. God bless everyone, and Lord willing, we'll see you on Monday. Thank you. Good night.
Goodbye.